Well, here with me this morning with more insight into this dilemma is Dr. Sharon Brangman. She's the professor of medicine and the division chief of geriatrics at Upstate Medical University, also the past president of the American Geriatric Society, and currently the director of the Central New York Alzheimer's Disease Assistance Center. Welcome, Dr. Brangman. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you know, with more and more people working longer, it seems like, you know, the problem of dementia or potentially Alzheimer's really has to get worse in terms of the workplace. What's your experience with that?
Well, I think it's important to know what constitutes normal aging and memory loss and what could signal the signs of an early dementia such as Alzheimer's disease. And as we get older, it is normal for us to have difficulty processing information. It may take a little bit longer for us to retrieve information. I kind of equate it to like having a hard drive on your computer. It takes longer to go through the files, but eventually you do retrieve that information. So that's why it may take you longer to remember someone's name if you're at a cocktail party, or just to have something on the tip of your tongue and it goes away for a few minutes. But you should be able to get back on track fairly easily.
So you think that's, you think that's more a function of the fact that there's so much in there, so to speak, so much data that you've accumulated over the years that you need, you're kind of running through it all, not consciously, but that's what's causing it?
I guess that's the best analogy, is that it just takes longer to retrieve it so that the processing time may decrease. However, you should be able to retrieve that information. So we all worry if we lose our car keys or misplace our glasses, but we can generally sit down and retrace our steps and find that item. If you have difficulty retracing your steps, or if you find that item in a really unusual place, then that would be a cause for concern.
So that's really the distinction.
Right, I think so.
So in the workplace, do you see that that could really cause even the slower reaction time? It doesn't seem like it necessarily should cause a problem. I guess it depends on the type of job.
It certainly depends on the job, and I think one of the characteristics that we have all taken on as a sign of a good worker is someone who can multitask. So we think you should be able to do five things at the same time, and studies show that multitasking actually makes you stupid. Our brains were only made to do one thing at a time, and it becomes more evident as we get older. So, for example, you might see a younger kid who can have their iPod on, they're watching TV, and they're studying.
But it's doubtful.
As we get older, it gets very hard to do that. We can only do one thing at a time, but we all work in an environment where you are praised for doing as much as you can in a short period of time, and that actually gets more difficult as we age.
Well, that's interesting because it sounds like it's a really a misguided cultural mandate in a way. Or maybe it's economically driven, whichever, but this idea of holding this out, this notion of being able to multitask out as something that is a sign of great capability is problematic, even at a younger age, I think.
Well, I agree. It's not really good at any age. It's just that that skill becomes difficult as we get older. And so we're stressing our brains. We're on information overload for the most part. But I think the most important thing is that there is no change in function in somebody who has normal aging.
So they'll eventually get the information, their thought process will be clear, they'll be able to problem solve, all of those kinds of things.
Exactly.
It just may take them a
bit. It might just take a little bit longer to retrieve that information and get on track.
Are there other things that might play a role, for example? And we know that as we age, things like our vision may become compromised somewhat. I mean, it's not always age-related, but it can be. Similarly, something like your hearing may also become compromised. Do those sensory limitations play a role as well?
Those are all very good points. So if you can't interpret the world around you, if you can't see it or hear it well, then certainly you're going to have problems with your memory. So that's why it's important to get a comprehensive evaluation, which would include a vision check, a hearing test, and other things to make sure you're as healthy as can be.
I think, unfortunately, so often when people, I think especially as the boomers age, I think there's a great resistance, maybe not so much with vision testing and glasses, but this whole notion of using hearing aids, for example, even though it really is necessary for many people. There's that kind of vanity issue.
It's definitely a vanity issue, and unfortunately we have many baby boomers who grew up with heavy metal and going to concerts that had very high decibel levels, and now they're paying the price of it. Sometimes I get concerned when I see youngsters walking around with their iPods on so loud that I can hear the music next to them, because that does cause damage.
Right. But the point is that those kinds of limitations do also play a role in this whole notion of slowing down, or maybe not being quite as quick or as accurate.
Well, we have a very youth-oriented society, so any of the symbolisms of aging are really have a negative connotation. So eyeglasses are kind of accepted, but hearing aids are not. And now there are hearing aids that are very small, colorless, they look very natural, and I would hate to think that somebody would not get their hearing corrected just on that basis.
Do you see do you see this as a significant issue or trend as we go on with more people staying in the workforce longer in terms of efficacy or productivity or anything in terms of the whole issue of aging?
Well, we live in economic times now where people are not retiring at 62 or 65 and often are working 70 and beyond. So if that is the case, we know that Alzheimer's disease and related dementias have an increased frequency as we age. So we are going to be seeing more people working with evidence of cognitive impairment and memory loss because it's more predominant in older age groups.
You know, the other thing that strikes me is there's a lot of the technology is changing so rapidly at the same time that there's a tremendous amount of stress on any worker these days to keep up with the technology. It's got to make it even that much more difficult, I would think, in a sense, for people who are of an older age.
Well, there used to be a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And we know that's not true. We continue to learn throughout our lifespan. It's just that we have to learn differently. It may take longer. We have to try different tricks in order to learn new information, but we can do it. And certainly technology in the workplace can be a stressor because it is a very new experience for a lot of older workers.
Do we know at this point, I mean, how, for example, how would you recognize briefly, how would you, you mentioned something about losing your keys, but if you were in the workforce and you had a colleague or even a boss who was showing some, you had some questions about, how would you know that this was just normal senior moments versus dementia?
Well, it can be very hard for the average person to figure that out, and that's why a medical evaluation is so important. But the earliest signs of memory loss that you would be concerned about is short-term memory, difficulty remembering appointments. Maybe they're not showing up for meetings on time, or maybe they completely forgot about meetings. Or when they get to the meeting, they may forget the content or what was supposed to happen. You might see problems with decision-making, taking longer to make a decision or deferring decisions because they may be too complex. There may be problems with judgment, not being able to problem solve or make a good decision about something that used to happen very easily.
That's interesting because obviously those are flagrant kinds of things, but can they start slowly?
They are very subtle.
They can be subtle.
And often they are minimized and they're blamed on fatigue or a lack of vacation or other factors, but they do persist and they get worse over time.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about all that right after this break. Here along with Dr. Sharon Brangman, and we're talking about dementia in the workplace and what to do about it. Now, right before the break, we were talking about the kinds of things that you would notice in the workplace if somebody truly was experiencing dementia. there are certain signs and symptoms. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Are there other types of things that you would see, or you can give examples? Like, are there personality changes also that can take effect?
Well, certainly personality changes can be another piece of the early warning signs. So, for instance, if you're a salesman and you usually have very good people skills, but now you can no longer relate to people, you're hanging up on the with them on the phone, for instance, or you're being very rude. Those are things that usually don't help you make a sale. Or if somebody is very irritable and isn't getting along with coworkers and it is a big change, those are signs too. On the other hand, if someone is more withdrawn, if they used to be more vocal in meetings and really lead a meeting and now they are quiet and deferring to others, that would be something to be concerned about too. So we're looking at anything that's a change from someone's normal behavior patterns.
So let's help our listeners understand the difference between something like Alzheimer's and dementia. Or at one point you were talking about just the cognitive changes that take place with aging. Can you clarify all that?
Well, dementia is the general term for progressive brain disease that gets worse over time that affects memory and function and personality. However, in the United States, Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, so that's why it's often used interchangeably. But there are other things that can cause dementia, such as multiple strokes, Parkinson's disease, AIDS can even cause dementia. Those are less common. And Alzheimer's disease is the number one cause in our country.
So when we talk about Alzheimer's, it's a specific physiologic process that's taking place in the brain that we understand. I mean, it's not just a generic term. It actually talks about some actual condition or function that's happening in the brain.
Exactly. It's an actual brain disease. And a lot of people who don't understand it think somebody is putting it on because some days may be better than others. And so they think it's a willful change in someone's behavior, maybe to get attention or to control a situation. But we know that's not true. There can be good and bad days. There are some days when the brain cells seem to be working better than others, but we know it's an actual brain disease.
So is there a genetic component to that? In other words, does it seem to run in families, or is it the kind of thing that just can happen to you?
Well, there are two forms. There's a form of dementia that tends to run in families more clearly, and that's the early onset, which means it begins between the ages of about 30 and 60. Mm-hmm. And that tends to have a more direct genetic link. However, that's pretty rare, and there are only a few families in this country with that kind of Alzheimer's disease. The majority of people get the late onset type, and that's usually something that begins after the age of 65, but most commonly in 70s, 80s, and beyond. And that one has a little bit less of that family-related genetic piece. But we are learning more about the genetics of Alzheimer's disease. We have the ability now to identify some genes that seem to be associated with Alzheimer's disease. So that's giving us more information, but it's not a clear link in the majority of cases.
So do we have an understanding of why somebody might develop Alzheimer's? I mean, any causation at this point?
We don't have a clear causation because there's a complex mixture of our lifestyles and our environment. We know that people who are overweight, who have high cholesterol, who have high blood pressure, and who have diabetes have a higher rate of Alzheimer's disease than those who don't. In fact, there's some interesting research that suggests Alzheimer's disease may be type 3 diabetes, because some people with Alzheimer's disease have decreased insulin in their brains and decreased insulin receptors. So with the big increase in diabetes that we see in this country, there's a real concern that we're going to see more loss of cognition or brain function and more Alzheimer's disease.
That's fascinating. I'd never heard that before. Very interesting. So at this point, has there been an increase? I mean, you would think with the people living longer, we would just for that matter see an increase in the incidence of Alzheimer's. Is that true? Is it following the population?
It's following the population. So we have baby boomers who are turning 65 at the rate of about 10,000 a day. And we know that by the time you're 85, your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is almost 50-50. So we see more and more people living 85 and beyond, and so their risk does increase.
So what do you think, what would you recommend you do if you were in the workplace with a coworker and or either a subordinate or someone who is above you, and you really thought this person is definitely starting to have some serious memory issues or some serious dementia. How would you approach it? Or what do you recommend? You've had so much experience with
this. Well, it's a very sensitive subject because no one wants to have this disease, clearly. And certainly in the early phases, people may be aware that they're having problems functioning but don't want to admit to it. I would say that the best thing for a coworker to do is to contact their human resources department and let professionals handle it, because it is such a sensitive issue and it just can create more tension in the workplace.
So for the person themselves, though, what do you recommend? Let's say there's some concern on their part. What would the first thing that they should do?
Well, the first thing they should do is speak with their doctor, and they need to get a thorough evaluation. Right now, there's no X-ray or blood test that can make the diagnosis, but we listen to the story, and if you've heard the story, you start to understand what's going on. So we can be 99% sure just by doing the history and taking a look at the other medical issues that that person may have.
And then what do you do as a physician? I know this is your area of specialty. What types, are there things that can really help, for example?
Well, yes. There are medications right now that can help slow down or stabilize some of the symptoms of the disease. Unfortunately, we don't have anything that cures the disease or reverses it. We have some interesting data that suggests that people who exercise do better than those who don't. And this may help prevent the disease, but even once you have it, you might do better because there's something about physical activity that helps to keep our brains working better. And so we have a culture now of doing everything easy and sitting on the couch and using a remote and taking that parking spot closest to the store or the mall. We need to be exercising more, certainly losing weight, controlling blood pressure, controlling blood sugar. There are things that we can do, hopefully, to push off that time when the disease progresses to the point where you need more and more help.
So do you think that how does somebody make the decision, or when should somebody then make the decision to stop working? Let's say they begin to, well, maybe they don't even notice what's going on, but someone else is aware of it. How do you make that decision?
Well, I guess it depends on what your job is. And certainly a job where you're making decisions that can have a big impact on other people, I would probably counsel that person to stop sooner rather than later. But again, it's a very individual concern based on what that person's job is.
Yeah, I would think that somebody who's a flight controller,
right,
air traffic controller,
a physician, or somebody who
surgeon.
Has very
life
significant skills that do have a life and death impact, unfortunately would have to stop sooner than somebody who might work in a library, for instance. And it also depends on the stress levels of your job, because we know that stress does play a role in causing or making memory problems worse.
So the higher the demand level, obviously, the more difficult the circumstances.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and explaining all this to us. It's certainly continuing to be a problem in our culture as people do work longer and age hopefully healthily, except for something like dementia. My guest has been Dr. Sharon Brangman, professor of medicine and the division chief of geriatrics for Upstate Medical University. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen. This is FM News Radio, 106.9 and 570 WSYU.